Hi, I'm Michael Stubbs. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from pride, idol worship, and codependency. Would you pray with me? Dear Father of all prodigals, of all generations, how thankful I am that the invitation to come home reached me just in time. I praise and honor you for the love you have shown me and others like me. I praise the name of Jesus. Amen. I am a sinner. I have received a new life in Christ by God's grace. Jesus' perfect sacrifice was that he went and died on the cross. He was buried, and on day three, he was raised from the dead. Payment was made for my sins. John 10:28-29, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The goal that I have in telling you this story is to give each of you a hope in whatever circumstance has brought you here tonight. Being broken and at the end of hope is a place that I can relate to. My story begins with some memories of me going to church on Sundays, getting a Bible, visiting my grandparents, and visiting their church. My idea of going to church was going to a building, hearing a man talk about God. We sang songs, and everyone wore nice clothes and smiled a lot. Eventually, I began going to a local church in my hometown. That started to change my things about my faith. I began to listen about this Jesus who went to a cross to die for my sins. Something in me wanted to accept this good news, and I went before the church at age 13 and professed my belief in Jesus. I was baptized, attended church on Sundays and Wednesdays throughout most of my youth. Because of godly men who were leading our church, I was given a beginning point to start to have a faith in Jesus. I was able to understand the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but my faith was not based on my need for a Savior. I remember going on mission trips, touring with the youth choir, and going to church summer camps. I was given a knowledge of the Lord our God. I could pass the church test. Who is Jesus? Sing about him and read about him, but I had no real life change. The testing of my faith came later in life. The fact that I did not know Jesus as my Savior impacted each test of my faith. My failures to fall in temptation were many, extensive, and destructive. Sin and destruction was an ongoing consequence. In areas of sports where I began to enjoy track and basketball, the good Lord allowed me to experience a dose of humbleness and then to endure constant pain that lasted for years after I ruptured a disc in my back. This was the second experience I had with God intervening in my life and bringing my pride back into proper alignment with His will. My first encounter with God's instruction came with a broken arm 1 week before my summer track state meet. My worship of sports needed to be checked, and God was willing to help me through that. My first sexual encounters began in high school and continued to thrive well into my college years. I had no biblical instruction on why this was wrong outside of marriage, and the Lord God gladly intervened. My first engagement to marriage ended with an abortion, murder of my first son at the hands of me and his mother, that was assisted by the folks at one of the local abortion clinics. The good Lord was able to bring me to a place where I would know my own sin and experience the full consequence of my own sinful actions. This was a very dark time in my life. Ultimately, this act of sin would bring me to the cross. My need to partner with women became a bigger focus as I seemed to need someone in my life that would be a benefit to me and that I would not be alone. This pattern was a big piece of who I was. The bigger sin struggles involved my pride, the desire not to be wrong, and idol worship of worldly things. I spent time pondering things to have, use, and own, all the while not realizing all these things were placing me in bondage. It all seemed to be good for me, but the thrill of each possession never seemed to be enough. The fact that God would not allow anything to come between his love and me would soon alter what I would pursue. I also took every effort to drown out the emptiness that was within me with alcohol, bars, while experiencing my worldly possessions. Thankfully, I discovered my wife-to-be, Cindy, during the end of my college years. I decided to make her my life partner, but on my terms and my timing. The downside was that I had no real instruction of what a godly marriage was, let alone what my role as a husband would be. Pride, selfishness, and the lust of worldly things slowly eroded the little kingdom that I wanted to build. I had spent many hours early in my marriage working out and making sure I was physically healthy. I would also purchase items without ever considering if Cindy would agree to what I had bought into. Later in my marriage, I learned that I suffered from sleep apnea, including a healthy dose of ADHD inattentive. Factoring my own stubbornness, it took years until I actually went to the doctor to understand why I wasn't sleeping. I would, and still do, drift off into awake, dreamlike visions all during the day. My work was a part of the kingdom that I was creating, and I later started the first steps to become an owner of the architectural firm that I worked at. Consider the providence of God. Where I had worked can be seen from Watermark. For the bigger part of my marriage life, I had a structured American Monday through Friday live-to-work week. Buying things when I wanted something was the standard, all the while getting further into debt. Later, as our marriage was falling into place, and as the boys got older, we dove into every kid's sport available, including scouting. Don't get me wrong, all of the hours that I chose to be part of the lives of my family were time well spent, and I am truly blessed to have each one of them in my life. The real blessings have always been right in front of me. We were even able to fit God into our Sunday mornings. Those times on Sunday mornings were reminders to me that Jesus was working on his plan for me. For reasons I could not figure out, my week following going to church would always be calmer and smoother. Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? One of the big idols that I have been trapped into worshiping is the connection to the university that I attended. It was a great place to learn and to be involved with all the traditions and support their many activities that included sports. I had a great time there, but I am not defined by where I was in school almost 36 years ago. This is a mindset that seemed to rule me and my thoughts. It is only by God's grace that I can give glory to him and not to my alma mater. In 2007, the good Lord intervened and began to chip away at all the things in my life that had become my idol worship. The first item that pleased the Lord to trim away was my health. While out of town on a journey back from visiting my older son's rugby team, I found that with stomach flu-like symptoms, I would not be able to make the return flight out from Denver. Easter Sunday, I drove back from Greeley, Colorado, and in great pain, I survived driving through the snow. And as I dropped off the rental car, asked the rental staff to call me an ambulance. After I arrived at the hospital ER, I can remember asking if a chaplain could see me before any work was done on me. Easter Sunday. About 4 to 5 p.m., 10 minutes later, a chaplain and a nurse were at my side. We prayed to God, and then the ER doctor placed some chemicals into my arm, and the darkness came. During my time out, which was almost 2 weeks, I encountered spiritual darkness. I eventually learned that I had been placed in a coma because of my body had gone into septic shock. Semi-alive to dwell in the place between life and death. The good Lord caused the unseen and darkness to become visible to me in the many dreams and visions that he allowed me to endure. The waking visions were even worse. My wife and many others were lifting up prayers for my health to be returned and that I would survive this. The good Lord was making sure that I would survive, but only after several months of recovering and healing. I was consumed with trying to discover with what had happened to me during that near-death experience. I had gone through much suffering, living in a state where breathing was difficult and hooked up to a wound vac. I waited months until I could be made whole again. Good health is one of those things that we all take for granted, sometimes worship, and will never fully understand until a piece is taken away. I now thank the Lord each day for what health He has allowed me to have. My redemption story became fully realized on the night that I cried out to God for forgiveness. In despair and brokenness, I asked the good Lord if He could forgive me for the abortion that I had been involved in so many years before. I had experienced living death, and I needed a Savior. The Lord answered my prayer. Even before I could complete my request, He knew that I would seek Him and that I would find Him at this place and time. He was there with me during my prayer, guiding me to salvation and eternal life. He was there with me during my prayer, peace and forgiveness pouring through me. Tears were flowing as the Spirit of God gave me a new heart. I heard and felt wind pouring into my forehead as I crossed over from death into life. I was forever changed. A new life in Christ, redeemed, and a child of God. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Because of where I worked was visible from Watermark, I asked a faithful friend of mine if he would give me his thoughts if I should visit. He got back to me and said, absolutely, go check them out. This new life inside of me had given me new desires to seek the Lord God in His Word and with a body of believers. I was intently pursuing a shelter from the storms of the world. Before Christ entered into my world, my entire life had been focused on myself, feeding my idol worship and living as a child of wrath. By God's grace, I was allowed to accept the eternal life that Jesus offered me by trusting in His provision for payment of my sins. Matthew 11:4-5. A man who was a follower of John the Baptist came up to Jesus and asked if He was the one who is to come, the Messiah. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. The good Lord with a loving and mighty hand continued to trim away my idols, and the next item He removed was my job. It was a brief period, but it gave me some time to be humbled as well as to understand that His provision is enough. He also brought me to a place that tested my marriage. Cindy and I worked through Reengage, the marriage ministry here at Watermark. We learned that we needed tools to be a godly husband and wife. The crazy cycle, wanting the other person to get fixed, and understanding that in our own power, our love for each other is at best conditional. These were truths that we had to learn about each other in marriage. Only by the grace of God, we are still married and just recently celebrated 35 years as husband and wife. If given the chance to run away from my own sin and to follow Jesus, I now take every opportunity. I have found that dead people being raised to a new life have a new perspective. I have joined in with some of the ministries offered here at Watermark: Equip Disciple, Men's Summit, Testimony Time, Children's Ministry. I also wanted to give back in the era with which the Lord had brought me to the cross, men involved with abortion. I was able to join in with the Forgotten Fathers Ministry that helps to bring recovery through the sin of murder of the unborn. Watermark is currently in the process of growing this ministry to bring the men, the Forgotten Fathers, to healing in Christ. I have also been able to experience this redeeming and recovery work of regeneration, this ministry. As a step group member and co-leader, I have worked on my own sin struggles of pride, idol worship, and codependency. Biblical forgiveness is first about accepting the transfer of justice, that God has accepted Christ's sacrifice as full and complete payment for my sins. If God can accept this for me in order for me to be reconciled to Him, then my trusting in His provision for my sin releases me of my guilt, and I am reconciled to God. God initiated the way for me to be reconciled. This really is a long-winded explanation to say that I have been set free from the domain of sin. But because of my own sinfulness, I am not free from the presence of sin yet. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The 12 steps of regen are helping me to learn how to live a new and regenerated life. After coming to trust in the Lord, step 3, we declare an inventory, step 4, and reflect on our many sin patterns that we can trace throughout our past. This phase of regeneration opened up the path and allowed me to come to the realization of the destructive power that sin's grip has had on me. The workbooks have been filled with the words of God, leading to places that I would not have ventured into without having gone through these steps. I am encouraged and also perplexed with my own sinful struggles that tempt me to return to worshiping all that this world has to offer, a virtual candy store to tempt every desire. This actually confirms that apart from the power and life of Christ living and working in me, I would still be dead in my sins. If Christ had not made a way for me to be reconciled to God, I would not be here. None of us would be here. 1 John 5:11 through 13. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. If this is your first time to regen, welcome. You have been guided here with a group of others just like yourself that are seeking a place to find hope, recovery, and new life. Our hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled with this gathering of people who may seem to have it all together. Jesus spoke to the crowd on the mountainside, Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. As you seek to discover a way to right this life filled with wrong choices, bad decisions, and hopelessness, know that our God is real. He has allowed most of these events in our lives so that we would be lost without Him, and that we would come to a place in our lives with a desire to find peace from a life of destructive choices, to discover of hope that all is not lost, and to find a love that exceeds all human understanding. This is why we are all here. At Regen, we don't flippantly say, I have a new life in Christ. This is a living miracle statement. It really defines our new passions, and I hope that soon will define your growing passions as well. Today is the start of a new journey to drink freely from God's grace and mercy. His love is a perfect and pure love that is unconditional. And I'll close with Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope.